Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
How's everybody? Today is Saturday, November 14th, 2020. I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're listening to The Night Owl. I hope everyone's feeling a little bit better after the big win of Joe Biden. If you voted for him, even if you didn't vote for him, at least now you have someone that has been in politics and has some experience behind the wheel in the White House.
Well, it does seem like exactly that.
He has more experience.
He has experience. He's already lining up his cabinet. He's lining up positions that need to be filled, especially those concerning COVID. He's already reached out to those that are in those current positions to help out as well. And yeah, it seems like exactly, he's ready to hit the ground running, and I feel good about those plans.
You can tell Matthew's very excited, but I think that regardless of who you voted for, I think we can all feel a little bit better in the community that is LGBTQ and Black Lives Matter in those realms, because we were, I think, all chomping at the bit before Election Day as to what their future was going to be and how it was going to feel for someone that didn't care about them to be president once again. And I think with Biden having a vice president of color and a female, it really does give women and people of color in general new hope.
That some of these cases that are going to come before the Supreme Court, it does seem like, you know, they are going to, some of these already decisions are going to hold them up, which will be good. It does seem like, especially now, although I heard today, I'd have to follow up on it, but those that are in that DACA situation, I knew it's kind of hit there that they're currently not allowing new DACA type situations. But hopefully once Biden becomes president, those people that were in that past DACA situation, I think there's like close to 700,000 or more, automatically, I believe, right? He just wants to automatically make them citizens immediately.
Wow, that's amazing.
Immediately, yeah. Which would be wonderful.
It would be a new way of thinking, and it would definitely set a new precedent for life as we know
it. Like I said, I've never understood it. Why are you trying to send talent away? I mean, my overall understanding of just this world doesn't usually line up with a lot of people anyway. With, you know, your land, my land, it doesn't have my name on it.
Yeah.
You know, what do I care? Come here and all you want is what is best and to work hard and to do that. I don't understand why.
And wouldn't you want that for other people? Wouldn't you want other people to want that as well?
And don't you want to live with other people that are like that? I mean,
yeah, that want to work hard, that want to feel safe with their families, that want to feel like they can provide for their families and provide for the community.
I mean, because get real, the fastest rising business, those that own businesses in this country, or Latino, Hispanic, mm-hmm. Latinx.
Mm-hmm.
That's who it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand why you want to ship out almost nearly a million of them away when...
Because they're not white.
They're doctors, lawyers, why they were doing EMTs, nurses.
They don't care. I mean, whoever was doing that didn't care what they were. According to Cheeto Man, they were all rapists and murderers. So we have plenty of those already in America that are all of all different shapes and sizes and all different colors. So it doesn't matter where they're coming from.
I mean, and I would agree. It sounds like the Marriage Act should be upheld.
Mm-hmm.
Those in the LGBTQ community there.
Because
they're human. Was a past president here ran on... Part of what he ran on was saying that he would stick up for that community. And he clearly, you know, like so many things, did not do anything for them.
Matthew and I are going 7 years. I think next month we have our anniversary of when we actually officially got married. Even before that, it would have been easier for you and I to have a domestic partnership and be able to file for taxes under a domestic partnership than it would have for people to be gay and be married. And when you and I were getting married, gay marriage wasn't legal yet. At least in Illinois, it wasn't.
No.
And the only woman in that place that was gay was getting married to her wife, and her wife had some sort of illness, and that was allowed.
She had a terminal illness, and they were getting a union. They weren't officially a marriage, but they were allowed to have a union.
I mean, how fucked up is that?
I mean, exactly. How dare you tell somebody?
Yeah. Oh, you're dying? Oh, okay. Well, you barely even get a marriage then. You just get a union.
I mean, just how dare you can't say you can't get married and have the same rights and...
Yeah. And you and I were just free to walk in there. I could have been a serial killer.
And now, like, part what I know is in the court system is, say, for trans parents to be able to adopt children. I know that currently is... what is on the ballot or on the docket, so to speak, and what they are going to have to see as far as those rights. This is what we're working towards.
I would say non-binary parents as well, because there's still that stigma of you have to have a mom and you have to have a dad. And what if your parents are non-binary? What if they don't identify either of those?
Idea.
It doesn't matter. It's just about family values and what you teach your children that make you a parent. Being able to raise a child and saying, this is my child. Your child doesn't have to have a gender either. I mean, however you choose to raise your children, as long as you're raising them with love and understanding and kindness and you're teaching them how to be a good citizen and a good person, it shouldn't matter what you or your child identify as.
I would agree. That's part of our advancement, isn't it? I think to be able to see beyond some of those old
ways of thinking, the pagan thinking,
and kind of good old-fashioned boundaries of female, male, and... No, I agree. We're bigger and better than...
I mean, there are people who are literally intersex, who have both either or of hormones or sexual organs, and they want to have children. So why can't they... You're a human. You have a child. You want to raise a child. There are people who grow up just to be parents. I have friends that was their dream. That's their dream, to have children. They wanted to be parents. And that's a very special thing to have. Not everybody wants to have kids.
No, there are people out there that is what they live for. That's their whole goal. They want to be parents and they become loving,
and it's
caring
beautiful.
Parents. And it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, they literally want to pass down their values, their morals, their ways of thinking to their children. And their children can decide whether they want to, you know, go with it or not. But I just think that this episode is definitely going back to what we were talking about in June, or was it June or July, around the LGBTQ Pride Parade and how it was canceled. You know, they moved it because of COVID. And I think that the articles we had that we talked about females being arrested or being murdered just based on their orientation in Egypt, and a man who was 90 years old who just came out. And I mean, it's just these stories of people who go through these struggles on their own, sometimes mostly on their own and in their own way. And they finally spread some sort of story, whether it's sad or good.
I think sometimes what
to other
is
people.
Happening, maybe why I kind of wanted to just highlight this story is, we're very quick with the acronyms, right? And it just seems like at times when we say LGBTQ, we're morphing that into a group.
It's becoming exclusive and not inclusive.
And it's each one of those letters has a bit, they're very different, and they're each in own unique way. Mm-hmm. They're not the same.
No, and they're adding IA, I think, to it too now, which I think is
and
like
we
the
should.
Non-binary.
I mean, we should be able to expand our ideas in our mind of what people are, and it just seems like we do. We think when we hear, for me, I think when some people say gay, they just think LGBTQ, everybody's gay. Well, no. That is not the case.
And there are gay men out there that find women attractive, that are curious. Sometimes they do, you could separate gender and sex. Sometimes gay men could go outside their sexuality. They could be interested in a woman because they love that specific person. Doesn't mean that they're into all women. There's people out there that are emotionally connected to a certain gender or a certain type of person, but they are sexually...
And as a man, just because you have maybe had gay sex does not make you gay.
Well, sex is sex. I had a prostate, I would be putting things up my butt all the time. Are you kidding me? I think it's like your G-spot or something. Like, masturbating is probably the best thing, the best way to milk it and the best way to keep
it
healthy.
Was that Road Trip, was it, that had the joke about being...
I think he, got, a prostate exam or something like that. Yeah. He was really addicted to it because he liked the nurse, and the nurse was hot. She kept putting, that was her thing.
I mean, to each their own, man.
I mean, if that's why you want to become a nurse, good. All power to you. With Biden, I think he's really going to change the game. I think that he and Kamala, I'd say it right. He and Kamala are going to change the game. I think that they're going to make people feel safer and more happy. And I cannot wait for the next 4 years. I'm really excited. And I think that if Biden keels over, I think Kamala would be a good president.
Kamala, I think she's ready to be there. I think, you know, again, who knows exactly what the next 4 years hold, but it does sound like, as we mentioned there, there's a plan. There's a plan in place. I mean, they're going to hit the ground running and there's a plan in place.
She said she's definitely the first, but she won't be the last. That was her quote that she said in her speech. Her speech really brought me to tears. It was very moving in that she was talking about how she represents all females and all female identified humans that want to run in the
political race. That ceiling was busted. Yeah. Finally.
And she included trans women. She included all female identifying all females. So that's why I wanted to bring that up, because it does kind of really give people hope. So what did you want to share with us today? Because I have a couple of light topics.
Well, in that same vein as LGBTQ that I kind of saw something on the internet that was highlighted, and I noted research and noted, oh, this was an article that was actually done earlier in the year that a couple of I would say lesbian, gay type friendly internet outlets picked up on here very recently. And this was and I was rather surprised to see it. The story is based on lesbian bars here in the United States, in that there's about 15, maybe 16, but 15 lesbian bars here in the United States left. In other words, these are joints that specifically identify for lesbians. That's where you can go. Not that everybody would be excluded, anybody's allowed, but that's predominantly.
But specifically, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of gay bars.
Yeah.
There's a lot of LGBT friendly
which is all joints all out inclusive, there. Anyone under that
but
umbrella.
Several of these articles identified these fewer than 15. And I know earlier in the year we have identified or talked about, you know, I think it's important that.
Last time I checked, I think lesbians like to drink.
Yeah.
I don't know why there would be more.
Well, like it mentions there, I mean, there are definitely a lot more gay bars, but again, that's suited to men.
I think it's because men like to go in the dating scene. They like to, I'm not saying that all gay men are like this, but there is that hookup culture that gay men like. They like to go and explore and like play the field. At the end of the day, you're all men. It is still a boys club, whether you're gay or not. So there's more, they cater to more of that than they do with women.
Maybe a little bit more unique to especially these lesbian bars than to gay bars is the idea that many of these, especially those that are left, are very close oriented, very family oriented. Mm-hmm. In other words, you know, those that have been going there, go there a long time. They welcome anybody new.
Yeah.
They welcome those that are coming out, have not come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the articles went on to say, even to say that for parents that have kids that have just come out, you can call these places.
For help?
For help.
So just advice? Like
for advice, any advice, basically hotlines. I thought it was interesting to see that there is not one of these places here in Chicago.
Yeah, well, there is. I did share a help menu on my Facebook that had to do with more than just LGBTQ. It did have all these different phone numbers you could call for. It was more of an online thing, but I don't think it was Chicago based. But I think that I'm not going to say it's sexist, but I think that even with the gay men who are doing drag and like refer to each other in that like femme kind of way, it's like you're still men.
That even these lesbians may still have, say, drag nights and that.
I mean, women like drag too. Women do
like drag.
And now,
women do drag too.
And now they're doing that. My friend Leia, she does drag.
A bar specific that is just all lesbian friendly. Matter of fact, the nearest one for us would be what's called Walker's Pint in Milwaukee.
Walker's Pint. It doesn't even sound like a lesbian bar.
It doesn't even sound like it. What if I told you one was called
Is Walker a girl?
I don't know. What about Ginger's in Brooklyn? Does that sound a little
bit
more?
Yes, that still sounds gay.
Henrietta Hudson in New York?
Okay.
All right.
Well, that's New York.
What about this? My sister's room in Atlanta.
Oh, God. That sounds a little.
Does that sound very.
That sounds a little incestuous.
What about Wild Rose in Seattle?
I like that one.
Yeah, I like that one,
we
too.
We should go there if we ever go back to Seattle.
Well, these are places we have
been.
They
may not let your ass in there.
You know, the picture, the article that I saw, I think it was on them.com, had a picture of Walker's pint. Maybe he was the bouncer, but there was a gentleman in the picture.
If I took you to Wild Rose, I'd have to say you're my friend or my cousin or something. Like, there's no way that those girls would hit on my ass. They'd be like, why'd you bring your husband here? Like, what are you, like, just playing around? They don't like that stuff. Lesbians don't want you just playing the field. They want you to be serious. If you want to hook up or date, you know, we always joke on the second date that they bring a U-Haul.
Different, right? That is kind of one of those inside jokes. They love very hard or again, don't want to stereotype
that. Some of
that,
those gay bars are exclusive until they're inclusive. They're inclusive until they're exclusive. Because sometimes I had a friend that I would bring to gay bars and he would get hit on. And then he would tell the guys, like, hey, I'm not into dudes. And they would be like, well, why are you here? And it's like, I'm with my friends. Like, but he wasn't into dudes. So, like, why can't he be there just because he's supporting his friends or going out for a drink or
And I would
just
agree.
Existing.
And he should,
like,
be allowed to.
Yeah, he shouldn't be getting hit on either or grabbed.
His time there. No.
It's one thing if a guy's flirting with you or someone's flirting with you and it's unwanted. They don't know. But if they're grabbing you, it's like, it doesn't matter if you're gay or not. It's just wrong to touch people when they don't want to
touch. Yeah, it
doesn't
matter. I mean, it doesn't matter what your orientation, gender, whatever. It's just wrong to touch. Just
but
to
Chicago
touch.
Is very divided. There's Boys Town and Boys Town. They're very exclusive. And the older gay men are not really into Boys Town because Boys Town is for the young boys who are experimenting.
You know what's happening, right?
Yeah, they're going to change the name of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't know what to change it to, though. I think just Lakeview, another Lakeview neighborhood.
Well, I think they're still going to keep it with the idea that it's LGBTQ friendly, but it doesn't just need to be specific
to... It's not
to
Boys Town.
Young gay men.
Yeah, yeah. Which is still weird because they call it boys and they're not boys.
They're not boys.
And there are boys... I've noticed Boys Towns in other areas where it's the same thing. It's like a gay neighborhood.
But it's not just a gay neighborhood. Specifically, I would say young gay men.
But that's what I'm saying. Then call it Men Town.
Men Town.
Like, if you're 21, you could have a drink. If you're 21, you could have
your man. Well, that's where Andersonville is.
Yeah.
That's where the more established,
but I'm just saying age-wise,
like, gay men
are. Yeah, but I'm just saying age-wise, like, you're not a boy. Hopefully you're not fucking a boy.
We've talked about that boy, not using the term boy and girl, but you're referring to adults.
If they're older 18, over 18, they are not boys or girls anymore.
You're not boys or girls. No, you're not.
You could say lady, you could say guy, you could say y'all, you could say them. I mean, we have to start using neutral terms for people now because I get offended if someone says, oh yeah, I met this girl. And I'm like, did you meet that girl? Like, how old is this girl? And I know that they don't mean it and it's a slip of the tongue, but it's just like when people used to do that with people who were trans or they would accidentally say the wrong gender. And it's like, I know you don't mean that, but you have to watch how you say it.
Or sexualizing a child.
Yeah.
Or making
a
child older than what they are. I mean, we need to stop with that exactly.
Yeah.
With the boys and look at those girls. They're pretty. No.
Or boys will be boys. And it's like, won't be. They won't be boys because girls aren't just girls.
Exactly. They're children.
No one says that
children.
About girls.
Children are not adults. And we need to stop with the idea that children and sex and.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't go together.
They do not go together.
They don't go together. No. But I think that the lack of lesbian bars is very alarming. I think there should be more.
I think it is alarming. And in this state, especially with COVID, with so many of these already...
They're already fucked.
So many already struggling. There is a push to help keep these places open. The article went on to say there's a couple key lesbian actors, some of them like on Orange is the New Black, that are helping to have a push, again, to keep... It's important that these places, I would say, remain open. They're not just any...
Bar. No. And I'm not saying that no bar is special, but these bars cater to women who feel safe and are around their female counterparts and their trans females who maybe are into women. Or maybe just being around women. You don't even have to be a lesbian. You could just be like, hey, I hate men sometimes. I just don't want to be around them. Like, that's okay. That's okay. Because sometimes you just need to be around that feminine energy. But I think there is this big thing in society with gay bars, with male gay bars, because there's drag, there's promiscuity, there's freedom. There's, you have a penis. Like, you are young. You look good. You're a young guy. Like, you're 18 to 21. You're young. You can go to those bars. But for women, like, it's really hard. I think there has to be a change with that, because I think when people in my experience that have told me they've gone to lesbian bars, they say there's like that stereotype of how the lesbians look, or how the women look, and how they perceive themselves, and how they, it's just, it's very sad. And then you go to a gay bar and you're like, oh, it's the same way with the stereotype with gay men. But like, I do see that with gay men, where they're like charismatic and like flamboyant and like out there and really femme. And then there's like the gay men who are like more manly and more masculine, and you know, they're whatever. We've seen all different types of gay men, right? I have. You and I at Smart Bar, we've seen them all. I haven't even seen lesbian women really at Queen. I mean, if I do, they're with a gaggle of gays. They're with their guys, right? And they're on their own. But when we went to Berlin, that was a different story. That was trans, pansexual, lesbian. That was a little bit more queer and more strange and more like, just like you go there and everyone's cool. And then like at the end of the night, like everyone's making out, or like someone's going home with someone, or like there's just weird stuff going on, but it's like a good thing. It's like, oh, I didn't expect this bar to be like that, but it's no questions asked and you're safe here. You're in a safe space. But for Queen, it's the reason why I loved Queen was because of the music, because of my friends that went there. And of course, everyone would get dressed up. It was church. It was a celebration. But they did lack trans and lesbian people. They did. And I think 15 lesbian bars in the whole country is crazy to me. I thought there'd be like at least 100 or more.
Well, in 1980, there was about 200. But as of now, it's about 15.
I wonder if there was more in the 70s.
I mean, you know, again, you start to go back that far, that's when it was a struggle just to even be, to even have that kind of...
I mean, remember Miss America, that one of the characters went to lesbian bar.
No, I mean, you start to go back to the 70s and 60s. Remember, laws were against them.
Yeah,
so it's just,
they were,
I mean,
like speakeasies almost.
Sometimes we like to think that this occurred 200 years ago, but in actuality...
It shouldn't be going down. It shouldn't be decreasing like that. It should be increasing. But I think that maybe, like we were saying before in the beginning, sexuality and gender has taken a new turn. It's taken a new... You can't put everyone in a box. So maybe... The lack of lesbian bars just means lesbians, maybe they don't want to go to bars. Maybe they want to do other things that are more exciting.
Well, it mentions that too, right? So you go back 20, 30 years ago, there wasn't, say, dating apps. And now there are specific dating apps.
They don't have to go to a bar to hook up.
They don't have to go to a bar to hook up.
Yeah, they can just go on Tinder.
But they still argue that these places are still a place to hang out.
Yeah.
Still, if you're not ready, you can still go and still identify there. They mention, again, as a support system.
You know what? Pool yards, billiards, those are where the lesbians hang out.
Is it?
At least in Chicago, I've hung out with my friend Lauren. And she was on a pool shark. She's a pool shark. She was on like a team or league or whatever you call them. And it wasn't just her. It was like all up and down. What street was it? It was in Uptown by us. But there was a whole street where like that's where the lesbian women would hang out. And like besides Andersonville was a big area and maybe is still for lesbian women. And I know that people over there are a lot older. They're in their 30s or older. But during Pride, every time we would go around there during Pride, it would be a lot of lesbians like hanging out there. And yes, a lot of them probably didn't live here because a lot of people that would come for the Pride parade lived out of state or out of the city. But I think the billiards are where it's at. A lot of the girls I've met like playing pool. They like bar. They like dive bars. They like, you know, they don't like the glitzy, like, glittery stuff. They like.
Well, that's what I would say all these places had in common that they showed pictures of. They were, I would classify them as
dive bars. Yeah. And I think that's interesting. I think that's interesting that there's that switch in like, in that venue of like, you think, I mean, and I can't say that all gay men are like that and all lesbians are like that, but there is that like standard thing where like gay men will like more feminine things. And it's just because they're brain is wired differently than women are, than lesbians. Men are wired differently than women in general, right? But I think that it's popular. I think in Seattle, it's probably all dive bars like that too. But I wonder what state has the most out of all of them. Because you said there's 15.
Yeah,
I wonder what state has more of them.
One of the articles there, like I said, he was either there on out.com or them.com or maybe even NBC, had it, even showed a map.
Okay, well, maybe we'll have to share that in the details then.
But the Midwest had very few. The East had, I would say, kind of the most, and so did the West. Even Nebraska had.
What? Even Nebraska?
Even Nebraska. I couldn't believe it.
Damn, there's people who are out in Nebraska. That's scary. I mean, it's better than Mississippi, I guess. I don't know. Mississippi and Alabama are kind of scary if you come out. But that's interesting. So I just brought a couple of topics I thought we could talk about. I told everybody in the last episode I wanted to bring some fun things to the table. I know we started with the political stuff, but we were just so excited about Biden. And I think talking about fun things in light of Thanksgiving coming up, Indigenous Day coming up, and the fact that this whole month of November is Native American Pride Month, which is great if you are Native American. Or you have friends who are, or you have any in your DNA, please give yourself a pat on the back and pray to every god you know, because we need to protect and help people that are Indigenous. And also, if you know anyone who is a business owner who is Indigenous or an artist, please give them your business. Please support them, because we need that. We need to help each other out. So I got a email from a fan. We have our email on our Facebook info and on our Anchor and all of our podcast platforms. So this one person says, I really want to get into electronic music. I mostly listen to hip hop, jazz, and R&B. I'm really interested in electronic music, but I've been looking at it from the side, but never really got into it because of the overwhelming amount of sub-genres. I do like Daft Punk and Flying Lotus, if he's considered electronical. Do you have any general suggestions? I think that I'd like experimental stuff that's crazy from a production standpoint. So yes, Flying Lotus is electronic. I would say you could look at, like, I don't know, for weird experimental, like Floating Points is good. Nico Jar is good. Anra is good. Forest Swords. And also I will share with you privately, I'll send you a link for our electronic music episode where we talk about all the different subgenres, and we also play different little snippets in there. Remember that episode where we talked about? That was like our first. I think that
we broke that down.
Yeah,
early on
that might have been our fifth
one.
Episode. Yeah, that was like flashback. But I just wanted to know what you think, Matthew. I gave this person some people that he could check out, because Daft Punk is not really experimental, but they're definitely, I'd say, the qualifications to electronic music. I think it's good to start with Daft Punk as far as like knowing how it sounds, how electronic music sounds. And Flying Lotus is pretty tame.
I mean, if you like something like,
or Aphex Twin is good.
Daft Punk, you know, he's pretty good. I mean, if you really want to get into that kind of experimental stuff.
Aphex Twin is good.
Twin is good. Yeah. Crystal Method.
Mm-hmm.
Chemical Brothers, right?
Oh, yeah. Chemical Brothers is badass.
I guess those that are known. I mean, and then you mentioned some
James
that
Holden. Yeah, James Holden. Forest Swords. Nico Jar. Nico Jar was at North Coast. And they're like really indie. They're like very, very indie. Like, I don't think they played here unless it was like a festival. James Holden's good. Floating Points. I accidentally listened to Floating Points. They were on my like iTunes, my iTunes algorithm, because I was just listening to the radio, the radio on my iTunes, and it like came up, and I was like, "Who is this?" And I kind of like them.
I mean,
It depends on what the parameters of what you like, you know.
Yeah, if you really love that deep, bassy, just raw, just electronic stuff, then I mean, there's always, you know, we mention that kind of stuff. So anything,
but I think,
like,
I think experimental
or,
oh yeah,
you know,
Skrillex
Knife Party or something,
yeah,
you know, along those lines. If you're looking for something a little bit more airy and dancey, I like you know, Pittsburgh's very own Porter Robinson.
But Matthew is giving you his favorites. He is giving you his favorites, which is okay. But I think Porter Robinson's overdone. I think he's overdone. But I will send this fan some links to some experimental, because I think what he's thinking about as far as production is synthesizers, and I think less bass, more synthy, more trancey. I think he should start with trance first. Trance is very slow and it is more airy, but it's like, it's more experimental, where you could add different sounds into trance. Trance can be used in different genres. A techno and it would be a little too much to start out with if you're a newbie, especially if you already listen to jazz and R&B. That's like slow. That's more like chill. But techno would be a little bit hard. I think trance would be good to start out with, as far as electronic, because then you could hear everything. You can close your eyes. You can chill. You can lay down. You don't have to dance. You don't have to get too excited. I know that some people can get overstimulated by techno or by certain music, so we don't want to give him a heart attack. And I don't know how old this fan is. They didn't leave me any information. They just asked the question. But speaking of electronic music, I also shared on our Night Owl Facebook page. Sometimes I ask questions that are both serious or fun or just out of the box, to give a chance for our listeners that are on the platform, a chance to answer, because it's quarantine and people are bored. And I asked, what do you miss most about music festivals? Be honest and specific. So I will leave names out because some of these are very adult. So trigger warning, this might have to do with drugs or drug use, but there are some people who did say that, and I said you could do that anytime in your life. You don't have to do that at a fucking festival.
No, maybe for some, though, that's the only time they do that.
Well, someone said tripping out and staring at the sky and mosh pits, which I totally get. Someone said good vibes. Another person said working with good people, also the money. Some people like to do it as well as a summer fling, but this is my job, so I take it seriously. I'm in this industry all year, at least I was. And then someone said photographing them. I said I missed videography of them and editing them. I kind of tagged onto that guy. And then someone said this made me sad. Someone said never been to one. And I'm like, what? Like, how have you never been to one? Maybe he's a concert guy.
Maybe.
Someone said not being as concerned about communicable diseases. That was a good answer. Oh, and this was my favorite. That someone said feeling the bass shake the ground as I walk closer and closer to the gates.
Especially if you're going to a festival with multiple stages and you're getting closer.
Yeah.
One of the gates you're entering is near a stage.
It's like going into your body. That's how you and I would feel at Smart Bar. Sometimes we could, because it was underground and people would be waiting in line to get in. They're literally dancing under your feet. I mean, you'd feel that bass. Oh, and then someone added to that answer and said, oh my God, this for sure, that building anticipation with each step. And then someone said live music, all the lovely, beautiful souls, and soon to be friends forever. Someone said in a stuffy little mobile home. Oh wait, the part where they pay me a bunch of money. And someone said in a stuffy little mobile home that has an office-like environment, but instead of a Keurig, there's a little Bluetooth speaker playing Razor dubstep. Copious amount of good herb coming together from many different places from all over the country, being sparked up at once while all of us bounce in unison with the beat. That's amazing. I've done that. You're just smoking a joint with people and you're like enjoying the music. Someone said the bass. And then I, you know, the guy who said drugs, I said you can take drugs without being at a festival. And he said it's better during a festival with other crazy people and massive music. I like that. Because he's like, you know, he was like, girl, I know, but if you're doing it with other people, I get it. Because you're doing it as a community and you feel safe because they're doing it and you're doing it. And usually if you have friends that are with you, you have that one sober friend that's watching you and making sure you're okay. Or maybe the most experienced drug user and they're like, okay, on acid, and they could still babysit you. But like there is that better feeling where you're like not the only one. Because I know that a lot of people have done a recreational drug and then gone somewhere where no one else is doing it. And if you're prone to getting paranoia or anxiety, that's not the best move. But if you're at a festival, I would say what you should look out for is if you're not good with crowds, go to the back of the crowd. You know, stay as far back where you can put a blanket down and you can like sit down, or maybe go to like the relaxation areas. Like Lollapalooza had that, where they had the beanbag chairs and the relaxation areas where you could still hear the music. And but if you're up close in the crowd by the stage, there is that natural high you get because you're right there. You can almost touch the performer, you know, or the DJ. It's like you're right there. Sometimes people that's all they need. It's just
there is
music.
I mean, it really is such a thing to electricity in the crowd. You're all experiencing, especially when you're mm-hmm. getting into it. It's a song everybody loves or knows, or
yeah, you know, or you're just singing together, and yeah,
you know, just everybody's digging the song, even if they don't know it. I mean, there is mm-hmm. something to that live electricity that only comes from
a
live event.
It's endorphins that you're getting from being happy.
I mean,
music
your endorphins,
you that.
It's their endorphins.
Yeah.
It's everybody's endorphins.
It's good vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's literally good vibes. It's no joke. Vibes are real. Think of your body as a singing bowl. If you hit that bowl just right with the mallet, your body vibes, and then people can feel it. And I think if you do take psychedelic drugs, you tend to be more prone to feeling that because you're hyper aware. But I mean, if you are prone to anxiety, please do one or the other. Just go to the concert, do it later, or do it beforehand and then go to the concert. Then you'll be fine.
Space.
Yeah, space. And then someone said the atmosphere and the energy. Someone said seeing my favorite bands. I miss the build outs, the teardowns, free lunch. It's probably someone who works the circuit. Building them, making sure they run smoothly, then tearing it all down to do it again somewhere else in another part of the country. Someone said dancing with my people. I love that. Thank you guys for answering that question. I mean, this had to have been 30 answers that I got for that.
That's great.
Yeah, so people are paying attention on our platform. They're really, really good people.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys for doing that. And then the last thing I want to do to close for this episode would be to play a Would You Rather game, if you wanted to play with me, Matthew, and the listeners.
Let's do it.
Okay, so I'm going to ask really slowly, which I may not be capable of, but I'll try because I want the listeners to have a chance to think about what they would say. And if you guys have any answers you want to write down, write it down on your notes or in your phone, and then you can send them to us in your email. thenightowlchicago@gmail.com. Just send us your answers if you want to play the game with us. It's called Would You Rather. And I'm thinking about maybe adding this as a fun thing we could do for our podcast.
Sure.
Because you have what you're watching. And
Yeah.
Okay, so Matthew, would you rather never get angry or never be envious? What do you think? Don't look at me, because I know what the answer would be for you.
Well, I mean, I honestly would want to work towards neither. I don't want to be either.
If you act that, you have to pick one.
Never be any?
No, never be angry or never be envious.
Well, then definitely would never be envious.
Okay.
Because I love getting angry.
Say no. That's what I was going to say. I would pick the other one for you, but Matthew's got a Viking temper, you know.
Yeah.
He doesn't hit or throw things, but he gets angry.
That's why I would definitely be, never.
I mean, if being envious makes you angry, then great, I'll take it.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Not my thing. That'd be easy.
I think for me, it would be never get angry, because I don't like being angry anymore. I like fighting and debating, but I don't like being angry. I like just feeling good. I've been envious, I think, in my place of work when I did hair. Like, I wanted to do hair the same way another stylist would do hair, or maybe I wanted to have something that someone had.
Key clients, the key chair,
yeah.
The best bride.
Yeah, but I've never, or maybe I've coveted thy neighbor's goods. Like, I've wanted something that someone had, but I didn't want to work for it. Like, I just wanted it. So I guess that would be kind of envious. So I'd rather just never be angry, I think. Would you rather be alone for the rest of your life or always be surrounded by annoying people?
Oh, alone.
Me too. I'd rather be alone. Like, absolutely alone, though. Knowing no one.
Yeah, no. That's
like, just
not
by yourself.
Question.
No one. Yeah. That's not even a question. Okay. I went through some of these questions very thoroughly, so I guess that was too easy for you. Would you rather be able to teleport anywhere or be able to read minds?
Oh, teleport anyway.
Me too.
Oh,
I would not want to read people's minds. Hell no.
No, matter of fact, it's interesting.
Not even on purpose.
Because I have now come to the conclusion. You know how I have mentioned multiple times that, you know, one of the magnificent things about the story of Star Trek, right, is that I believe they have solved world peace and da-da-da, the world's great and all that. You know, that's how we...
Because they can read minds and shit?
No, it's because I believe of teletransport, because you could imagine the stress of no longer having to get in a car, that you could just, boom, go anywhere in the world in a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
Think about that. Think about what teleporting probably did. Opened up the world to everybody so that the world is no longer... There's no longer this halfway around the world. I don't know what there is. I can go there in a matter of seconds. I can experience this and go here.
I would be
and see
a little
this.
Worried, though, because I'd be like, wow, what's it going to do to my organs?
So, yeah, I mean, I believe teleporting may be a key here.
Do you think it would fuck up your organs, though? Like, all that moving around?
Well, that's the joke. Remember on Spaceballs, right?
Yeah.
When he goes through and he gets twisted and he's like...
Yeah.
And then he sees his... He's like, whoa, there's my butt!
Yeah, his butt's in the front.
Yeah, his butt's in the front.
It would make pooping a little bit easier, though.
It would
though.
Be interesting.
Yeah.
Wiping easy.
And then the last one would be, would you rather give up watching TV or movies for a year or give up playing video games for a year?
TV movie.
Yeah, I knew you were going to pick your video game.
No, I'm a video guy. I get back on a minute.
But see, that one was just for you because I don't really play video games. Although Matthew and I were surfing through the Xbox store and looking at some possible new future games. I think maybe for the winter, for our winter episodes, we can start playing and talking to the listeners about the games and what we like about them.
See.
It can be what you're playing.
How many people out there got the new platforms, you know, PlayStation 5 and the X series?
I've shared some video game articles on our Night Owl stuff, and people we've reached, I mean, it'll tell you the analytics of all your posts on Facebook. And I think we reached like 50 or 60 people. And we have over 1,000 people, 1,000 fans on the Facebook page. So I just want to think, I just think it'd be fun to shake things up. And
shake it up. Boom,
Matthew
boom,
and I are boom, also happy boom. To announce that we will have a new guest on after Thanksgiving break. So stay tuned for that. And I wanted to sign off with you guys and tell you to stay safe, stay happy.
Stay safe, be well, and wear
a goddamn mask. I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're listening to The Night Owl.